always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here.
4:47 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And if you've not heard, President Donald Trump was found guilty today on all 34 charges in his so-called hush money trial. On the line with us is Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. Attorney General, we thank you so much for joining us on this short notice. I guess we have to ask you your initial thoughts on the verdict.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for having me on. This is a dark day in the history of our Democratic Republic. You know, this is lawfare on a level never seen before in this country. You know, you've got a Manhattan district attorney who on his website claims one standard of justice for all, and yet while crime runs rampant through the streets of New York City, dedicates countless resources to a sham prosecution, an illicit witch hunt of President Trump. And it was never intended to obtain a legally valid conviction. And I think that your listeners will understand, and certainly legal scholars know, that the conviction that was obtained today is not legally valid, will be remedied at the Court of Appeals and in the Court of Public Opinion. The intent here was always to take President Trump off of the campaign trail. And Alvin Bragg was successful at that. And that's the biggest shame of all, that that the rules of the game, the rules of law, has been perverted to achieve a political objective by Alvin Bragg and by President Biden as well. I think President Trump is right when he accuses President Biden of engaging in this kind of lawfare. I mean, certainly the Department of Justice under President Biden has conducted lawfare against President Trump. They've deployed Matthew Colangelo, the formerly third ranking official in Biden's Department of Justice, longtime DNC activist, to be the lead prosecutor in Alvin Bragg's office. You got to be kidding me. That alone is enough evidence to get both of those prosecutors disqualified from this case. The case itself was never supported by the facts or the law. You've got illicit motivations of the prosecutors themselves. They should have been disqualified. And then the judge rigged it. I mean, by not giving the jury instructions, by allowing them to avoid jury unanimity in determining what the actual predicate offense could be, the whole thing was rigged. It's a sham witch hunt. And the problem will be corrected. It's going to take time. But here's the call to action. The left needs to understand that if there are no rules to the game, and if the rules of the game are lawfare, that can boomerang against them as well.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Attorney General, Tim Jones here. Thanks so much for joining us today. Yes. I'm sure you're going to be in high demand, so we appreciate you jumping right on our show as soon as we were able to reach you. I would love to unpack some of the things you mentioned, because this is what's going to come next. People need to first understand that this is just the beginning of the road. Many of us expected this. We hoped that the system would somehow prevail over this extremely anti-Trump jury, which is, I'm sure, what they were. Trey Gowdy, the former congressman, former federal prosecutor, not a Trump sycophant at all, recently said, I think he said it this morning, we still don't know what the secondary crime was. Mr. Attorney General, yeah, back to those jury instructions. Would you explain to our audience what is reversible error? And do you think those jury instructions were manufactured to almost force the jury to reach the result that they did?
Yes, but yes, absolutely. And Mr. Speaker, I'm glad you're covering that. And this is what's important. There are countless instances of reversible error in this case. Number one, the judge made poor rulings pre-trial and during the trial. Okay, so for instance, not giving the jury printed jury instructions. How is the jury supposed to apply the facts to the law if they can't see the law? They heard it verbally, but there's 34 counts. That's a lot of law. And so the jury needs to be able to see that. During their deliberations, the judge deprived them of that. Let's think about this as well. During closing argument, the judge allowed the prosecuting attorney, Matthew Colangelo and Alvin Bragg, from their office, to argue facts that weren't in evidence. The first thing you learn in evidence in an evidence class in law school is that it's objectionable for the prosecutor to get up in closing argument and testify to facts that were not adduced into evidence during the trial itself. So by the judge allowing that to happen and overruling the defense objections, those are both reversible error in and of themselves. Number three, at this point, the prosecutors themselves were illicitly motivated. They should have been disqualified from prosecuting this case. Think about our own experience in St. Louis. Remember when Kim Gardner was disqualified from prosecuting the McCloskey's case, or disqualified from prosecuting the police officers who she had charged with offenses because the court found that she was politically motivated. She had a personal interest in the case. The same is true here. Alvin Bragg was involved in civil litigation against President Trump. Matthew Colangelo is deployed from Biden's crooked Department of Justice to assist President Biden in his reelection to eliminate a political opponent. They should have been disqualified. That's reversible error. But then let's go to, like you're saying, the lack of unanimity in the jury instructions. Mm-hmm. This is an co-ed offense, meaning that the state of New York, the prosecution had to prove that there was a target offense that President Trump then participated in through other activity. So it's inchoate. There's a level of attenuation between the target offense, the predicate offense, and the offense for which he's charged at the state level. The problem was the prosecution never identified specifically what the predicate offense was, submitted four different options, and the judge said you don't have to be unanimous, jury, in determining which predicate offense to go with. Since 2020, the United States Supreme Court, in the case of Ramos v. Louisiana, has said that jury unanimity is required under the Sixth Amendment to the United States Constitution. So this whole case is replete with errors. And when you add all of that up, again, it points to the fact that the goal here was never a legally valid conviction. It was always politically motivated and always intended to take President Trump off the campaign trail.
We are speaking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey on the 34-count conviction of Donald Trump today in the so-called hush money case. Attorney General, I want to ask you, how common is it, and this happened in the trial, how common is it for a judge to tell a witness that I don't like the way that you're looking at me, and if you continue to look at me in a way that I don't like, I'm going to completely strike all of your testimony? Is that something that is common in a court?
That is ridiculous. I mean, for the judge to opine, I mean, that undermines the credibility of a witness. It invades the province of the jury. The jurors are supposed to determine whether or not they believe a witness based on how the witness is behaving. For the judge to offer that kind of commentary, editorialize on the credibility of the witness, invades the province of the jury and undermines our criminal justice system, where there's this separation of powers where judges determine law, juries determine fact. That alone, again, I think that's reversible error. I mean, the first thing they teach judges in Missouri is say as little as possible, make your rulings, and say as little as possible. Because when you start talking as a judge, you start injecting your opinion into the case, and your opinion has nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter what the judge thinks the strike zone should be. It matters that he calls balls and strikes within an objectively verifiable strike zone.
Speaking to Attorney General Andrew Bailey. Mr. Attorney General, you made reference to this earlier. Despite all the celebratory fanfare that we know is occurring right now on CNN and, as we call them, MSDNC, this is a dark day for the American jurisprudential system, right, Mr. Attorney General? Because if you put aside, this is Donald Trump, and those who say, well, this is just about Donald Trump, both of those are bad, right? This shouldn't just be about Donald Trump. And you can't remove Donald Trump from this equation, because now they've set this as a precedent. And that's one of the things that we respect in this country, is precedent. So now that a court has said this is okay to target, weaponize, and go after political opponents, that is something that's never been done at this level in this country before. Hopefully will never be done again. But now the left has said it's okay to do so. Dangerous place to be, isn't it?
It's absolutely true. And again, that's why my office has demanded records from the Department of Justice to establish this collusive relationship between Biden's crooked Department of Justice and Fani Willis and Alvin Bragg and Matthew Colangelo. Because at the point that you have President Biden on the stump deploying resources in an illicit witch hunt prosecution at the state level against a political opponent, number one, it's putting those attorneys' professional licensure at risk, which there should absolutely be sanctioned. Number two, it undermines the credibility of whatever illegal conviction they obtain today. I think that's reversible error by having these self-interested prosecutors who are politically motivated involved in these cases. But then number three, it provides an avenue for civil liability for President Trump. His civil rights were violated at the point that the prosecutor prosecutors exceeded the scope of their statutory authority, they're waiving sovereign immunity and President Trump can sue them. And at some point, I believe there will be evidence of criminal behavior on behalf of the prosecutors, and it'll be time to prosecute the prosecutors. And the left should not be surprised when that happens, when those of us on the right lash out and strike back against this kind of behavior. If lawfare is the name of the game, then don't be surprised when it happens to you.
Mm-hmm. We have been speaking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. Mr. Attorney General, we thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. I'm sure you will be doing many, many interviews in the coming hours, but we thank you so much for joining us, and we always enjoy talking with you.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on. All the best to you and your listeners in this dark hour of our republic.
I agree. Thank you so much.
Indeed.
It is a dark day, Tim. 34 counts. President Trump found guilty. We are in a banana republic, and I feel like some Harry Belafonte music should be playing about now. But anyway, 507, speaker stump speech. I think I have a pretty good idea what it's going to be about, but what is it?
Chris, I was going to talk about the Great Barrington Declaration, if you remember that, published by Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, who I got to see speak in D.C. last week. I'll hold that to another day.
There you go.
I have found a great... Chris, I was looking for an analysis of the jury instructions, and there's going to be many analyses of these in the future, but I found one from a very esteemed source, The Federalist. I'm going to talk about Judge Merchant's jury instructions and how they're all about power, not the law, and that's why we should all be concerned.
That's coming up on the speaker's stump speech at 5:07. 5:24, we'll speak with Chris DeGaulle. He's a member of the Herzog Foundation and host of the podcast Making the Leap. You are listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.